Welcome back, Questers. World War III. Freedom of speech. Rapture. Building 7. We'll talk about all these things and more with Archbishop James Cloud, who returns. It's going to be a great conversation, so get locked in with us. And let's talk about what is to come, or what we believe is to come, or what we believe is to come. I take a quote from a very famous movie, Tuskegee Airmen. If you don't know God, you better have a damn good substitute. I'm gonna start this thing out with my man Griff Galaxy. Let freedom ring. Freedom. And then you'll hear me talking with my guy, good friend, Archbishop James Cloud. I'm Roy Washington. This is The Quest. We got you locked in.
Sense it coming, it's kind of ironic. My freedom, ah, recently bought it. Now I'm a target. If I do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing, come on, man. Let freedom ring. States. The world is filled with all kinds of shades, and still resegregate. Parents separate from their children, that's not okay. We should be free to laugh and play. Do it now, before you pass away. Fight for what's right, enough for everybody to get peace of the pie. Brainwash, social media full of lies. Go to work, pay bills, then you die. Need a breakaway, guns, get rid of the AKs. Our ancestors paved way since the slave days, but we still hurting. Carry that burden, stop playing victim, beat the system. Love is love, it should be shown. Can't grow unless you leave your comfort zone. This I know, I learned all this from the mentorship. Kids don't know what independent is. Take advantage what your parents did. Go against the grid, you have to. Like going to the bathroom, learn the right songs, cause of Matthew. Liberty like statue, they call now the present, cause it's a gift. It should be cherished, last name Fearless, not Harris. All thanks to my parents. Now, love the last name every time that I hear it, cause I know what it represents. Climb the fence, so now I got
freedom.
Such a beautiful thing.
Freedom.
Such a wonderful thing. Thing.
Freedom.
Such a beautiful thing.
Freedom.
Such a wonderful thing. Thing.
Freedom.
Such a beautiful thing.
Freedom.
Such a wonderful thing.
are locked into the quest. You are locked into Quest Nation, baby. You are locked into the quest. We got you locked in.
There we go.
All right.
I'm getting into, like, freedom of speech for one thing. Now, okay. Anyone has a right to say whatever they want. They can disagree with who they want. They can have their own beliefs. They can, I mean, that's what the First Amendment's all about. The thing that isn't protected by free speech is the incitement to violence or violent rhetoric or things like that, that, you know, promote physical violence or attacks of any flavor on a different person simply because they disagree with them. And just like you can't, freedom of speech doesn't cover you yelling fire in a crowded room when there's no fire, you know?
Right.
It's a same concept, but, you know, people have lost, at least it appears, by and large, they've at least a segment of society have lost the ability to debate or to have conversations, even if they're diametrically opposed.
Do you think that social media picks and chooses when to enforce freedom of speech? Because I had a situation. There was a young lady who, I don't know her, but she put a video out. You know how you got the little videos, you scroll down and some, I forgot what the situation was, but it was somebody who was really nasty to her and called her, I think a racist name. She was black. But the person was totally out of line. And I said, and it got me upset. So in the comments, I said, you know, and I wasn't too nice in the comment. I said,
that's okay.
That piece of crap. You know, I called him a piece of crap or whatever. I was really upset.
Sure.
And I think this was on Twitter. And so they sent me a notice saying, we're flagging this comment. We may not, we may not post it. If we do post it, everybody won't be able to see it or something like that.
So
I went back and I kind of softened it up, but I still not said something about, keep your head up. Everybody don't have class or something. I kind of cleaned it up and it went through. So I was asking that because I've been seeing when some of these mass murderers, these kids who go and shoot up schools and they've been putting on social media all this hate and stuff that they're going to, and some of them has been telling us subliminally what they're going to do. And this nobody has really investigated this or whatever, but me saying something, you want to come after me, but you got a mass murderer basically telling everybody what he's going to do, what his plans, and some of that, I think one, their post was still up after it was over and after he was dead. I think, a lot of them ended up bad for him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you think they pick and choose?
I think they do. Honestly, they say that they don't censor things or they try not to censor things, but come on, if they want to push a narrative of some flavor, they're going to push it. If they're going to restrict someone just because of, like in your instance, you're just expressing displeasure and anger over someone being a racist idiot, right. To me, I'm like, cool. Yeah, that's someone, that need to have their attention got. But I think they do pick and choose, and I think they have algorithms. I don't think there's actually a person sitting behind the screen saying, we're going to block you and whatever. They have their algorithms that do it automatically.
Okay.
But interestingly, they don't seem to have the algorithm that will flag violent incitement.
Right.
So, otherwise that stuff wouldn't be on there.
Right. Yeah.
But if I'll put it to you this way too. If a person on the left is doing that, inciting violence, typically it's not censored. If it's on the right, they go, oh my gosh, you know, we can't have that. And so they, again, they're, it's almost as if, you know, and I have no proof of this, but it gives me the impression that they want violence or something to happen to those that have more traditional values versus those that have more progressive values. And so, and I think there is some sort of divide on the social media platforms against either one.
Did you ever get to the point where you thought you could try them?
No, I wasn't stupid.
Oh, okay.
I had no desire. He was my best buddy.
Did he ever think that you wanted to try him?
No, he knew I wasn't that stupid.
My dad, for whatever reason, I don't know why, he thought I wanted to try him. One day, he was giving me an earful. I guess I'd gotten in trouble. I did something, and he was giving me an earful. And I guess a look came over my face or something. I don't know, but he hauled off and gave me a good shot to the chest, and I crumbled to the floor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I said, no, Dad, no. I don't know. I guess he thought I was trying to swell up or something. I don't know, but he gave me a nice shot, you know?
Yeah.
And I was tough.
Nothing like that ever happened with me and my dad. You know, we always had a good relationship, and I had no desire to challenge him. Plus, you know, when I saw his biceps, I mean, you know, I got big hands, but his were even bigger and meatier than mine.
Okay.
So I knew just the size difference was enough to deter any thoughts, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know, that's dad, you know, I never really was going to ever try him or anything, you know, no. So sure. I don't know what came over him. I don't know what maybe I had a certain expression. I don't know.
Probably.
I never know, but you know, but yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Well, how did it make you feel when you seen your dad beat the guy up? Was you kind of proud? Because I had a situation where I was proud of my dad, you know?
Well, I had a broader respect for him. For sure.
Okay.
But as far as the emotions I was feeling, it was more shock because I'd never seen him anything other than gentle and very laid back, very chill. But I tell you, that day I saw the beast and I knew for sure all the stories my mom told me and he had told me was the gospel truth about what he had did before.
Okay. Yeah, my dad. We had two corner stores in our neighborhood, and he went to help Mr. Jackson. Mr. Jackson on one of them went to help him out for a period of time. So he's working behind the counter, but some guy came in there and I guess tried to rob the place. And he and my pops got into an exchange of punches across the counter, and the guy got the worst of it and retreated, had to flee the store. And I was proud of the old man, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was proud of him, you know? Yeah, he was a, you know, trustee in the church, you know, I used to watch him and Mr. Avery, Brother Avery. Yeah, you know, they'd could take the money to the bank after every Sunday.
Sure.
And, you know, they had the suits on with the hats looking like gangsters, you know, going to the, you know.
Sure.
I was proud of the old man, yeah. Yeah, he gave that guy a pretty good pummeling, you know.
Well, honestly, that's righteous. You know, the guy was trying to rob and he just took care of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, my dad was a pretty big guy, too, pretty tall guy, you know. 6'2", 6'3", yeah, you know. Yeah, Army veteran.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that I guess that's probably why I went into the army too, you know.
Oh yeah. Yep. I was going to go into the Marine Corps like my dad. But well, one, none of the other services would take me because I've always been broad, and I've always also been like, for instance, I'm 6'2", I'm about 320 pounds. Now,
Okay.
when you mentally picture a person 320 pounds, you
Yeah.
think, I mean, they're just sloppy fat. I mean, just, they've got more rolls than a bakery and everything else going on. But my body isn't built like that.
You're
It's
solid.
solid. And with no fat, I'm about 265.
Okay.
So, none of the services would take me because I blew out their weight scales, from their accepted weights, basically.
Okay.
And, but the Marine Corps was going to take me by my neck circumference versus my waist. And so I was going to do that, but I wanted to do it because my dad was in the Marine Corps. But
Okay.
I eventually chose the college route instead, and didn't. Sometimes I wish I had, but I don't know if I actually could have made it in the Marine Corps. I suppose I could have, but I don't know.
Well,
The
what you think you would have been able to take somebody yelling in your face and telling you what to do?
Oh, that don't bother me. It's
Oh, okay.
the physical requirements in boot camp for a Marine. They're pretty intense.
Yeah.
And even though I could fight with the best of them, that wasn't the problem. Pain hurts, pain hurts. And brother, I don't like pain too much.
No, we had that PT test we had to take every year, I think, too, when I was in our army, you know.
Okay.
You had to pass it to, had to run a mile in under a certain amount of time, and I forgot how many push-ups and sit-ups, we had to do and pull-ups, but yeah, that PT test was something else.
Sure.
But I'm hearing that I don't know if this is true. They said that Trump is saying he's going to get all the fat generals out of the military.
Yep.
Oh,
Yep.
you heard about
Well,
that too?
apparently the military had laxed its physical requirements,
Oh yeah.
I don't know, in the past 4 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of chunky soldiers and
Yeah.
generals and,
Yeah.
ate a little too many Big Macs and needed to shave their weight. But he basically told them, you need to get your weight down or you need to get out. So he didn't like just say, you're fat, you're fired kind of thing. He said, you need to.
Get in the gym.
Yeah, hit the gym, boys, because we're here for war, not Big Macs.
Oh, okay. Because even when I was in there, some of our captains and sergeant majors and stuff, they'd be little round,
Sure. Sure.
but they
Well,
but they could still run. We had the battalion runs were going 2, 3 miles, maybe 5 miles sometimes. They could run, but it's kind of easy to run. When you're in step and singing cadence and everything, so
oh, sure, you get your mind off of it.
yeah. So that means it's going to be a weight program to even get drafted, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
was
they
joking.
want, fit it, that as soon as you're drafted, you can get your butt into the war theater. And that's coming very soon, too, man.
What?
War.
Oh yeah.
We are on the cusp of World War III. I'm very
Okay.
concerned about that.
Okay. Go. Tell me more.
So Russia's been doing drone incursions into Europe, Poland, Denmark, Norway. Basically, sizing up defenses, tallying numbers of how many planes, because it's usually over military bases and airports.
Okay.
It's not just, Bob down the street flying his drone. These are large military grade drones that are being flown over the European countries. And they're all coming from Russia and Russia's shadow fleet out there in the, I forget what sea that is, North Sea or Baltic. Well, not Baltic, but like North Sea. But that's getting close. They already declared Article 4 in the NATO thing about these drones. So that's the precursor to Article 5, which is, you know, active war against Russia. So that's going on. The rhetoric is heating up tremendously between Russia and NATO. Both are seeing whose thing is bigger, shall we say?
Yeah. right.
And then you got the whole Venezuela thing. Trump's down there trying to hit the cartels, but I also suspect it's about Venezuelan oil too. But Russia and Venezuela are very close. So if Russia chooses to get into it on Venezuela's side, I mean, the team players are all kind of lining up as far as what the Allies versus Axis, you know, 2.0 would look like. You've got the U.S. and Israel ready to hit Iran. The U.S. is seriously considering giving Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine so that they can blow the crap out of Moscow and other places wherever they would like to. You've got hybrid warfare going on, cyber attacks and whatnot. I believe it was a retired general that basically said we're closer to World War III than we've ever been. We're right there on the precipice, and it's not pretty where we seem to be headed. And you have economic collapse occurring across the planet, which is only going to set up for the digital currencies. Basically a big reset.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in dark times, and people better wake up pretty quick.
Wow. Okay. Ukraine. That's those are the guys that's been fighting Russia, right?
Yep. Yep. And
I like their president.
NATO, what was that?
I like their president.
Yeah, he's an actor, actually. He's a comedian. And
he's a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, you should look up some of his pre-presidential shticks. I mean, it's a little embarrassing what he used to do. Hilarious, but embarrassing, too. But in 2014, the U.S. did a shadow coup in Ukraine. And so they installed Zelensky as their proxy guy after the coup. And of course, Russia took Crimea at that time, which used to be part of Ukraine. Now it's Russian. And the Ukrainians kept pounding the Russian civilians living, Russian national civilian, you know, they spoke Russian, they came from Russia, but they were living in eastern Ukraine, so Ukraine was still just would pound them with artillery and stuff until Russia finally had enough and invaded Ukraine. That's what started the whole war. But NATO and the U.S. have been providing all the weaponry for Ukraine to fight the Russians. And so that's escalated the tensions since it began in, 2022 or 21, one of those. And, you know, the situation just went very dire. I mean, at one point, I think it was Biden floating the idea of giving Zelensky their nukes back, because they used to have nuclear weapons when they were part of the USSR. And but I think it was like 1998-ish when they gave up their nuclear weapons. And so, I mean, the stupidity of humanity knows no bounds. I'll just put it that way. That's the easiest way to explain evil. The stupidity of men.
You know, I was, especially when the war first kicked off, and I was kind of looking at him, I was like, you know, that's somebody who probably, I probably would have, as a soldier, really would have taken pride to fight under, you know, fight alongside. You know, he's out there with his troops, and you look at him, he's physically, like, he can physically go.
Oh, yeah.
If they had this, if they had something, I was always wondering, would it be like if, you know, two countries was into it and the two presidents had to get into the octagon instead of everybody dying.
Yeah.
Let these two guys go at it. He'd be a tough one to deal with. He looks like he can go.
Yeah. I don't know. He's a little guy. He's only like 5'5", 5'6", or something like that. But also, he was a comedian. I mean,
Joe Rogan's a comedian, but he's been in the octagon.
That's true.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan would wipe the floor with Zelensky, I think, though.
We're talking about other presidents. We're talking about Donald Trump. Donald Trump would be on his back in 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if it was Zelensky and Trump and they were going at it, yeah, Trump would be hurt.
Putin, too, probably. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, do you know where this rapture thing, I mean, we already know what the rapture is, but do you know where this rapture watch came from? There's been people, I heard here in Africa, they were supposed to be a certain date. You know, we all know the Bible say that, you know, we know not the time and, you know, when he's coming and all that, you know, but
sure.
There's been a lot of people on this rapture watch saying that Christ is coming, you know, and they've been out looking at the sky and groups of them and, you know.
Yeah, some even sold their house and cars and gave away their savings and figured, wow, I don't need it. Christ is coming, so I'll just give it all away, you know.
Wow. So
yeah.
So they had a soup kitchen now. Still waiting.
Yeah, they're at the soup kitchen now and taking the bus.
How did this start? Who started this?
There was, I believe he's from South Africa. Preacher calls himself Brother Joseph, and okay. he said Christ came to his room. They had a face to face, and he said he was coming back on the 23rd or 24th of September, last year. And that's where it all started. And then other people started doing calculations with years and times and the Jewish feasts and everything else, and some of it made sense. So, you know, people were like, hey, I think that could be right. And so they hopped on board the rapture train. And but the point is, you need to be ready every day, not just, you know, a certain date.
Right. I seen a video of this black guy and him and his sister. They was getting on an airplane. He said, because the rapture is about to hit, we're going to be up in the sky, we'll be even closer when he comes and snatches us. You know? People took it very seriously.
Sure.
So that video I seen in Africa must have been that guy's congregation. It was just an army of folks out there in just like the open field or something, looking up at the sky.
Yeah. And you know what the real shame is? When people set dates and then it doesn't occur, people lose faith, you know, because they lose faith. Maybe they didn't truly believe. Maybe all religion is false. Maybe et cetera, et cetera. And so they fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
I even mentioned to my wife, I said, you know, a lot of these people, because the dates were set, they're getting their life right, you know, right before the date so that they can go. But how much you want to bet if it don't happen, they'll go right back to the way they were living, you know?
Right. And what about the poor guy? You say that the guys that who probably sold their houses and sold everything, and
yeah,
now, yeah.
Now so they're
they, up they lose face now.
Yeah,
do they lose face now? They probably was living pretty good, and now they're starting over.
So yeah, and some and the same ones that did that also quit their jobs, so they don't even have jobs to go back to.
Oh,
you know that that's bad. That's bad.
Well, Bible says, "Show study to show yourself approved." Huh?
It does. It does. I usually tell my wife, you know, if someone sets a date, well, I can guarantee it's not going to happen that date, at least. You know,
right. This timetable for World War III, and you know, if you had to guess, what you think? Think we're going to see it in the next few years, or it's going to be something that our kids are going to experience?
It's definitely within a couple years. I mean, that will probably be, you know, balls to the wall deep in World War III in a couple years. Honestly, as the tensions sit now, one little spark will cause the wildfire, and it'll be on, it'll be active in a hot war and ready to rock and roll. Could be days, could be weeks, could be months, a year, but it's coming. Unless, you know, cooler heads prevail, there, I mean, the way it's looking, it ain't looking good. And I think Trump was actually telegraphing what's coming up when they changed the Department of Defense to the Department of War back to post-World War II times. I think it's a telegraph, you know, kind of acclimating people to that and kind of foretelling of what's coming down the pipe. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm just a weirdo, and you know,
I hope you are. You're not a weirdo, but I hope you are wrong.
I hope I am too.
Huh?
I said, I hope I am too. But you got a lot of retired officers, colonels, generals. They're all saying the same thing. And it's not looking good. The ones on Russian side are saying even worse. They're saying we should nuke NATO and nuke the U.S., I mean, it's gotten to that level of rhetoric.
With our weak grid, power grid, I don't think they've pitched it or whatever. So it's kind of a weak grid. I've always been scared of a country like China.
And you should be.
Yeah, they can attack us like that, put us back in the Dark Ages.
Yeah, well, here's another interesting fact. Most of the substations and power plants in the U.S. Bought parts from China. And what they've discovered in those parts are fail safes that China can use to immediately shut off the grid. It can be remotely operated. Anyone can look that up. You know, that's open source intelligence. So, it's... I mean, the game is on. I mean, technically, I think the Ukraine war was the start of World War III when historians look back. Because even World War II didn't start off with everyone at each other's throat. It started off with Germany invading Poland. And then it just started growing over a couple years from there until everyone was involved. And it's following the same historic path as World War II.
And this war will be fought on both shores, right? On all shores?
On all shores. And mostly with missiles. You won't even see the enemy combatants. I mean, they'll be hitting you from miles away and using drones this time. You know, you'll hear a buzz in the air and there's a drone shooting a missile. And, I mean, it won't be like the World War One and Two ground battles where infantry is slugging it out, except maybe in urban warfare here and there. But as far as the general movements and attacks, it'll be all long distance. So, you know, and the use of AI in combat. There's so much going on. I have a brain that's always curious, and I always want to know all the information, and sometimes I wish I didn't, but I do. And I study and listen to experts from various fields of my interests just to keep my family safe. So I've got a heads up. I know what's coming down the pipe. I know what capabilities potential adversaries have. I know our capabilities. We'd still wipe the floor with anyone in any conventional warfare. The problem is the nukes, because mutual assured destruction is real.
I thought our new game was up to par.
As far as nukes?
Yeah.
Oh no. If Russia, China, or the U.S. see one of the three are firing a nuke, everyone's going to launch their nukes.
Which is silly to me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but a lot of the war strategists are thinking Russia may use a tactical nuke first. So you know, a tactical versus a strategic nuke. Strategic nukes are the ones that, you know, of the horror shows. You know, they take out whole cities, counties, state, that kind of stuff. Versus a tactical nuke, which is small, would take out a city block, let's say. Mainly used for hitting a troop concentration, mainly used for soft targets.
They have a target.
They think Russia might use a tactical nuke to, you know, get everyone shook up so that they can actually go back to a negotiating table before it escalates into the strategic level, where it's the ICBMs and all that.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Well, I got a couple more things I want to talk to you about. I mean, it's been a good discussion. Too bad missed out.
Variety of topics.
One, do you think President Trump is becoming a dictator? I think that's what he wants to do, be a dictator.
It's very hard to become a dictator in the U.S. because of the separation of powers. You know, you got the executive, legislative, and judicial branch, and each one is crafted to keep the others in check. So, and each one has powers that if there is one branch, one of the three divisions of power trying to attain supremacy and do whatever else, it's the job of the other two divisions, whether it be, you know, if it's the executive branch, the president trying to be a dictator, you got the judicial and the legislative branch that's supposed to be able to remove that person from power and be able to use any kind of thing necessary to do that. Trump, what people are missing with Trump is that he's a very prideful guy, and he likes things done his way. Now, just because one is prideful and they like their way or their highway doesn't necessarily mean they're a dictator. A dictator would be taking control of the judicial, legislative branches. I mean, not just influencing, but actually going in and deleting the individuals in those other divisions. That would be a first sign. You'd see military coups or whatnot like that. That would be only have an allegiance towards a leader. That would be a dictator. No, what we're seeing right now is you know, I voted for Trump. I'll just say it. Because I did not like where the Democrats were leading. But Trump is a very self-centered, self-righteous, very prideful individual. He believes his way is the right way, and he's trying to get it accomplished the best way he knows how. That absolutely steps on toes. It's not the typical political maneuvers that you would expect from a president, because usually there's give and take and, you know, compromises and such. Typical politics where nothing changes. He's kind of the ghost in the machine, trying to recreate an America that once was. Now, folks could take that as good or bad.
The question is, what America?
You know, I have no problem with us going back to a traditional America, as long as it doesn't also have the same issues, shall we say, racial, economic, and other issues of traditional America. You know what I'm saying? But everyone has they have old school values, treat everyone well, merit based, where you earn your way. Nothing's necessarily handed out, of course, unless you're disabled or elderly or something like that. But, you know, merit based. I would like to see that. We're in the financial situation we're in because it's been, you know, been very willy-nilly with our national treasury, shall we say, giving to other countries more than we should, just because we're trying to lubricate the political machine over there too. I think we should stop trying to control other people's business in the other countries.
We got people in need here.
What was that?
When we got people in need here in our own,
absolutely,
own country.
Absolutely. We should take care of our folks first, especially vets and homeless. I mean, and most of them, the homeless are vets, you know?
Right. Yes.
Those that are struggling with the mental health concerns, PTSD and other things.
Yeah.
Let's get them housing before we got illegal immigrants coming in and we're putting them up in hotels and everything else, you know, nice hotels, Four Seasons, everything else. Yeah. When a homeless vet is sitting downstairs of the Four Seasons freezing in the cold, you got an illegal immigrant in the penthouse suite.
Yeah.
And it's all being funded by the government. Tell me how that makes sense.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm old school. You know, I don't make apologies for that. Am I always right? Of course not. Who is? And there's always nuances. You know, and sometimes it should be case by case. Other times it should be a general rule. But that's what I think. I'm about fairness, equality, justice, truth. I want to see people play nice with each other. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, we had a guy, I'm finding out yesterday, who was, I don't know if he was a veteran or whatever, but people, the mental health thing is real. One of my co-workers said this guy was outside the building. He was standing up, but looked like he was off balance, ready to fall at any moment. Then he'd start boxing the throwing punches at the air. Then he'd go back into his little thing like he was almost sleeping. No, probably was on drugs or I don't know, but
yeah,
we got probably stuff going on. Would say
probably fentanyl.
That's what killed one of my nieces. Yeah,
they're doing a lot of drugs with fentanyl these days.
Yeah, she had something that was laced, and the sad thing with her, she was a brand new mom. Her child was maybe 2 months old.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, and they found her in the house. You know, she had got a hold of something laced with fentanyl. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna close with this question here.
Sure.
First of all, you used to like the Twilight Zone, right, Rod Serling?
Oh, of course. That's awesome.
Remember the episode where the people are on the bus and it gets, I don't know if the bus breaks down, so they all have to go to this diner, and the basis of that particular episode was there was an alien among everybody. Whether it was the guy who worked at the diner or it's somebody from one of the passengers from the bus, but all those people that was in that diner, it was an alien among them. You remember that? Have you ever seen that one?
Yep.
Where do you think aliens, or what part do you think aliens will play in what we're going to see down the line, whether it's the World War or whatever? Because I've been listening to podcasts and shows, and a lot of people think that there are some aliens that's already among us. They, you know, they probably look like us or whatever, but they feel like there some of them are already here
among us. Well, first off, a person would have to define the term alien. So, a lot of the government whistleblowers are saying, you know, aliens are real, but they're not necessarily from other planets. So they could be from our oceans, because we've only mapped 10% of our oceans. 90% is unknown what's down there. And a lot of the UFOs and UAPs are coming out of the ocean. Then you've got an FBI document that came out in the 40s. And people can go to FBI.gov and look it up. But I don't know the file number. You'd have to look that up. But saying that there's an interdimensional world superimposed with ours. And these beings come through dimensions, portals, if you will. They're physical and whatnot. Then you got the biblical aspect where these are likely the watchers, a class of angelic beings that are physical, have DNA, have sperm, the whole nine yards, because of Genesis chapter 6, where they cohabitated with women and the women were able to give birth to a hybrid species between these watchers and humans, and that's where the Nephilim came from, the giants. You got that. They could be from outer space. They could be from deep within the earth too. We know there's large chasms in the earth. Recent surveys have shown that there's massive voids in the earth where you know, the whole inner earth theory could come into being. They don't know. They know these things are physical. They know a lot of them are demonic in attitude, shall we say. They have malicious intent. And then you have others that do not have malicious intent. You have UFOs that were in the 60s shutting down nuclear silos before we were, you know, in the height of the Cold War. And they were shutting down nuclear silos both in the U.S. and the USSR at that time.
Okay.
Basically, these UFOs would come over, zap a light into the nuclear silos and bunkers, either turn them on so that they were about to launch, so, you know, the people were freaking out, or shutting them completely off so that they couldn't access the nukes. So what they'll play, I truly believe this, and I believe what a man named Wernher von Braun has said. Wernher von Braun was the head of the Apollo programs. He was the guy that sent us to the moon and space and everything else. But he was also a Nazi engineer, Nazi scientist, coming over in Operation Paperclip. But that's just a brief history of him, but what he said on his deathbed, he said, once they start weaponizing space, they're going to claim there's an alien invasion and we're going to have to come together as a world government to face the aliens. So we're going to have to come together because there is an existential threat from outside of the Earth that's happening. Well, you got all the crazy crap that's happening now. Now you got scientists saying 3-Eye Atlas, the interstellar object coming in, might be this big alien ship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we all need to half panic. But that plays into it. Apparently, there's a lot of there's a prevalent story that has some credence to it within the intelligence circles that in 2027, they're planning on saying this massive ship is coming to the Earth and, you know, aliens are attacking. But it's all a false flag. You know, and if folks don't know what a false flag is, that's when, easiest example, say an American ship is flying a Portuguese flag and they attack an African country, let's say. Well, the Africans are going to see the Portuguese flag and think it's the Portuguese attacking them. But actuality, mm-hmm. it was just the Americans switching their flag so that that African nation and the Portuguese get into it.
Right.
That's a false flag attack. And there were a lot of them. I think 9/11 was a false flag. I think the whole weapons of mass destruction in Iraq was a false flag because they never discovered nothing. No weapons of anything like that in Iraq. But we invaded them anyway. But yeah, I think they're gonna. I think the narrative of aliens is gonna play a big part in whatever's coming down the pipe, too.
Said 9/11 was a false flag in your mind?
Absolutely. Yeah, because so there's a lot of evidence. The prime thing that sticks in my mind is Building 7. Folks can look at that. On the same day the Twin Towers got hit, we all know what happened. Planes hit the towers, fire, those collapsed. There's a lot of interesting stuff with that too. But Building 7 was the telltale that this was a pre-planned government thing. So Building 7 housed, from what I understand, CIA offices as well as FBI offices. And they might have actually been the epicenter for the whole shebang. But Building 7 collapsed miraculously on its own that day, too. You know, everyone, any news report will focus on the Twin Towers, which we know they collapsed. And we know the narratives that go along with that. But Building 7, World Trade Center 7, anyone can look it up. It came down the same day. And the only damage it had was a couple broken windows. There was no structural damage to it. But when you watch the video of Building 7 coming down, it's obviously a controlled demolition. And anyone that's in building demolitions will tell you it can take several weeks up to a couple months to get all of the charges correct in a building to make sure that it falls flat. Instead of, you know, going over or whatever. Well, Building 7 came straight down, just like a controlled demolition that day. In a interview, I believe it was only like a week or two later, the owner of the entire World Trade Center area, because it's an area, not just the buildings, he said, yeah, we made the decision just to bring it down that day. You don't bring down a building in a day. All the charges had to be set beforehand, weeks ahead of time. So, and again, anyone can look it up. You know, I'm not making anything up. It's not something new and novel. It's just raw data.
Was Building 7 a huge building like the towers, or what was it?
No, it was, I don't know, 12, 14 stories, something like that.
Okay.
You know, it was up there, but it wasn't tall.
Right. Like what I work in, okay.
Yeah, like think of like a huge hotel, basically.
Yeah, we got two towers where I work in. They're both 14 floors apiece.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Kind of gives you a size estimation. Yeah. But look up their YouTube videos about World Trade Center 7 coming down. I encourage folks to look at it.
And I've heard there was a drone in two.
Could have been. Day.
I heard there was a drone.
I don't know. I watched the whole thing as it was happening, and I mean, I was glued to the set. I was like, "What the crap." And the next day they were saying there was molten metal underneath, a lot of gold down in the basement where the molten metal was. Firemen in the Twin Towers now.
Yeah.
They heard multiple explosions going tack, 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 tack down the superstructure of the building. Now, when you look back at the events, they'll tell you the official story is that there was never any molten metal in the basement. There was never anything different than what they're telling you. Yet on that day, I watched the whole thing. And what they're saying is there's molten metal. All these girders in the Twin Towers are cut at 45 degree angles with thermite. I mean, come on. You know, There's a lot of things that our government does that's pretty craptacular. But there's a lot they do good, too. Unfortunately, a lot of these tragedies that happen has intelligence written all over it.
That casket or whatever it was that Obama had put into the ocean, was Bin Laden in there?
Good question. Bin Laden was a CIA asset. CIA,
right.
Pretty much right up until 2001. So he could be that one of two things. Either he wasn't in there, and he's living somewhere off of the grid now on government pension.
Yeah, him and Tupac are having my ties somewhere. They're having drinks.
Hey, could be. Shaved off his beard, you know, got some plastic surgery. Different now.
Yeah.
Or two, they killed him because he was a liability after he did what they wanted him to do.
Right.
That's the other possibility.
Okay.
So it's one of the two. I mean, there's no any real choices beyond that when it comes to you either pay someone off or you plug their hole.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Both of those choices are very dirty choices, but I could see either one of them. But I always just felt like he wasn't in that casket. Like, why couldn't we see space and whatever?
Sure. Yeah, that was sketchy. It was very, very sketchy.
Remember Tupac having drinks somewhere. So, hey, guys, have one for me.
And Elvis. Come on. He never
died. Oh, yeah. Elvis is with him as well.
You bet.
Yeah. Yeah, and the notorious B.I.G. Yeah, he's probably there too. I don't know.
Yeah, could be, man.
That's crazy, man. But, hey, thanks, man. It was a great, great conversation, man. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. All righty. You take care of yourself, man.
All right. You too now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe. Cash App, Leroy, 1812. Facebook, Roy Washington. X, @ Smooth Novelist. Instagram, Novelist 2019.